Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, it just seemed like the Lord's having me talk along kind of the same thing on all these things I've been talking about, a lot of them anyway, that is. I've been talking Wednesday night on Don't Quit. And if you haven't been able to be with us, then go back and watch it. It's available on our website or on our Facebook page. Go back and watch that. We're talking about, you know, having a spirit that doesn't quit. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about having a strong spirit. Because we need a strong spirit during these times. Amen. Now, I tell you what, let's go to Proverbs 24 and let's just start there. We'll begin with verse, actually I just want to read one verse out of Proverbs 24, verse 10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength was small. Now, I want you to notice, he didn't say you would faint because of the adversity. Right. He said you would faint because of your strength, being small. Now, this scripture really took some life for me several years ago. I was, you know, like everybody else, I was going through some trials and testings. You know, we all do at times. I don't live there. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? I don't camp there. I don't live there. But, you know, I face them, you know, like everybody else. I assume you do, right? We all face them. And so I was going through, you know, sometimes adversity. And I noticed this. I noticed it was bothering me more than usual. And I got to thinking, I thought, you know, this stuff used to not bother me this bad. You know, I mean, it wasn't like any kind of new trial or anything. I mean, it's stuff that I dealt with before. And I thought, you know, this used to not get to me like this. And I that's when the Lord began to deal with me. And he began to say, the problem isn't the trial. The problem isn't the adversity. The problem is you've let yourself get run down spiritually. And I remember what I did. I took a whole day and just spent time with Jesus Christ. Just I said, okay, this day, it might have been the next day after the Lord showed that to me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing any ministry. I'm not doing any church work. I'm not doing any homework. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to stay in my study all day long, and I'm going to fellowship with God. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to do spiritual things. And you know, when I came out of there, I had some strength. Amen. And I'll tell you something. All of a sudden, that adversity wasn't causing me to faint any longer. It was a great lesson for me when I saw that my problem, I thought, was the adversity. But God was saying the adversity is not your problem. The problem is your strength. Because if you faint in day of adversity, the problem isn't the adversity, it's your strength. Amen. So that was a revelation to me that I need to keep my spirit man strong. Amen. Now, look at Proverbs 18. Let's go there, Proverbs 18, and I want to read a verse there. And I'm going to look at some things, and we're going to challenge us on this about having a strong spirit. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. And King James says this in Proverbs 18, 14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? But the Amplified Bible says it this way, and I think, you know, this is right. It says, the strong spirit of a man. Think about it. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity, but a weak spirit who can bear. What's the writer saying? He's simply saying, if your spirit's strong, you can stand through anything. But if your spirit's weak, you can't hold up. Paul told the church of Thessalonica one time, he said, he was commending them for their faith and patience and all the tribulations and troubles that they endured. And I looked at the word endure up, and what it means is to hold up under. In other words, Paul was saying to that church, he said, you still got faith, you still got endurance, even though you're going through some trials, you're not folding like a cheap chair. You ever sat in a chair and it gave out on you? It's not a fun sensation. But so what we're talking about here is just having a strong spirit. See, we could look at this scripture. I don't want to go there. We got some other things that we're going to look at in our time together this morning, but... But, you know, Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs says keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Isn't that something? In other words, what Proverbs is saying is, what you have in life comes out of your spirit. In other words, if you don't like what you have in life, you have to change what you're putting in your heart. You know, Jesus said something like that himself. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Matthew, he said, out of the heart proceeds certain things. Out of the heart proceeds different things. And so if we don't like what we have in life, we have to change our heart. You see, I got a teaching on this. I haven't taught in a long time. But I taught about how to receive healing. How to receive healing. Because a lot of people don't know. They may know about healing, but they might not know how to receive healing. Healing's not received in your physical body first. Healing is received in your heart first. Amen. You know, when God said to Abraham, he said, I've made you a father of many nations. Well, at the time God said that, Abraham didn't have a child. But what God said is, I've already done it. It's done in the realm of the Spirit. See, he made him that way on the inside first. Abraham started to call himself a father of many nations. So he changed what he had on the inside, and what you have on the inside manifests on the outside. It's like this man was a pastor at one time. He's a traveling minister now. But he said, I had a lady in my church one time. She said to me, she asked me this question. She says, Pastor, why does all this ugliness come out of me? He said, without thinking, I said, because it's in you. He said, I don't pastor any longer. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But, you know, the truth is, Jesus said it. He said, a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. Now, you know, a good tree occasionally will have a bad fruit, bad apple, right? But it doesn't produce that, right? That's not its production. And a bad tree may occasionally have a good apple, but that's not its production. That's not what it normally produces. Normally, it produces bad fruit if it's a bad tree. If it's a good fruit tree, it produces good fruit. So you have to understand what you have in life, it's coming out of on the inside of you. You know, if you're depressed today and all this, we could lay it off on our circumstances, and circumstances can trigger things, and we're not minimizing those. But, you know, you meet people that have all kinds of dire, bad circumstances, and yet they're joyful and cheerful. Now, what's so different? Well, it's what they're seeing on the inside. They're not seeing them. See, when you see yourself free on the inside, you'll act free on the outside. Hallelujah. When you see yourself healed on the inside, you'll act healed on the outside. So I've got this teaching, maybe I'll teach it sometime, about how healing's received. It's been years since I've taught it, but you have to get it on the inside first because, you know, the Bible says, out of the heart flow the issues of life, what we have in life. So if you can see yourself, and I'm not talking about some kind of weird imagining, I'm talking about the Word of God paints a picture on the inside of you where that it's in your heart. That's who you are. Amen. You know what? I'm going to heaven. I'm convinced of that. Are you convinced of that? You need to be convinced of that, you know. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to doubt. You can know because of what the Word says. The Word convinces me. Now, I haven't seen heaven. I haven't seen it. I'm convinced you got a brain, but I haven't seen your brain. See, we can believe things that we don't see. If you ever do see your brain, how many know that's not a good thing? There's some real problems going on right now. So what I'm bringing out is this. If you get strength in your spirit, then adversity, even though it does come, it won't cause you to faint because you've got something on the inside that's stronger than the adversity. Right. And so that's what the Scripture is saying here, a strong spirit. I like that, the Amplified Bible there. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity or whatever he's going through. It could be sickness or whatever. The strong spirit will sustain him, but a wounded, weak spirit, who can bear that? You can't hold up under that. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, because Paul said something here I want to bring to your attention that's really, really good. He said a lot of things that's really, really good, but this is one thing he said that's really good. And I didn't see this until, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago when I was reading through this and saw this and got the revelation of what he was talking about. He's praying for the church. You know, there's prayers that Paul prayed for the church, churches. He prayed a prayer for the church. He prayed two prayers for the church at Ephesus. He prayed for the prayer, a prayer for the church at Colossae. He prayed for a prayer for the church at Philippians. It'd do you good to pray them over yourself because these are Spirit-anointed, Spirit-inspired prayers or they wouldn't be in the Bible. So what he prayed, you know, and he was praying for the church to have certain things. Ephesians chapter 1 is really good because he prays that the church would know what is the glory of their inheritance, that they'd know their inheritance, that they would know, you know, the power that's given to them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He began to pray things over them. Well, here he's praying again for the church at Ephesus, and he says this in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Now listen to what he prayed here, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he prayed, One thing he prayed is that the church would be strengthened with might. Now, the word might there is the word dynamis in the Greek. Now, we've heard dynamite, right? Well, dynamis is a word, you know, like in Acts where it says, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "After you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you." It's the same word right here, but he chose to use the word might here. I hope you follow me. So you could say that you might, listen to this, be strengthened with power by his Spirit. It's the same word. So you can use the word power, you can use the word might, and this word dynamis means miracle working explosive power. So Paul's praying that in your inner man, you know, there's an inner man, and an outer man. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's an inner man and there's an outer man. And he's praying that your inner man, that man on the inside, that he would be strengthened with power by the Spirit of God. Now, okay, he goes on and he prays some other things for them in verses 17 and 18 and then 19. But then you get down to verse 20, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now, this verse makes it on coffee cups. But let's get a revelation of what he's saying. People say, you know, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Pastor, amen, hallelujah. But wait a minute. He said it's according to the power that's working in you. Now, what power is he talking about? The power he prayed they'd have in verse 16, that you might be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. So Paul said, God's able to do for you according to the power that you have working in your inner man. Isn't that interesting? This isn't according to God's power. His power is without limit. How do you know that? So God's not saying, we understand it is God's power working in us, right? But it's not according to what God can do. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. But the limits on it, how do you know when according, that means there's limits on it, right? When he says according to what? Well, here's the limits on what God can do. Listen now. You know, people say, well, God can do anything he wants to do. Well, he's God, but you know, he just doesn't go around doing just anything. He operates according to his word. I'll tell you something he can't do. He can't lie. The Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. Why? Because God's truth. It can't come out of him. So we could religiously say that, you know, God can do anything, and if he wants to do it, he'll do it. Well, that's not what Paul said. Paul said, yes, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But he said there's limits on it. The limit is the power that's working inside of you. What's that power? Once again, verse 16, that Paul's praying for them to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in their inner man. Well, if you didn't need that, he wouldn't pray that. How many know that? I mean, he's not praying for something that, you know, you wouldn't need. If it's just automatic, why pray for it? Amen. You know, I'm not praying for a Bible this morning. Right? I got one, you know. I'm not praying, you know, that I'd have, you know, five fingers. I got them. I got all mine, you know. Some people may not, but I got all mine. I don't need to pray for that. Why? I got them. Huh? I got 10. My wife said I got 10. 5 and 5. I was just looking at one hand, okay? 10. So, anyway, I never was good at math. So, but you know what I'm saying is that we think that God just can, you know, he can just do anything in our life. Well, he can, Paul said. He said he can. He said he's able to do exceedingly abundant above anything you could ask or think. He can. But the limit on it is the power that's working inside of you and me. Remember, the psalmist said about the children of Israel, he said they limited the Holy One of Israel. They put limits on him. Now, could God run over us? He could, but he's not going to. I mean, God's God, he could. But, you know, there are laws in the spirit realm that God set up. So here's my point. Look, the stronger we are in our spirit, the more God can do for us. So when you hear us you know, I want to use the word harping, but really we're exhorting you. When you hear us exhorting you, spend time with God, fellowship with God, feed on the Word, worship the Lord, you know, pray, get yourself built up. We're not doing this just because we don't have anything else to preach about. And God's not having you do this just so, you know, He'll feel good about you. He already feels good about you. You reading the Bible is not blessing God any. You know, listen, you praying is not blessing God any. In the sense that it's not helping Him, it's helping you. When we worship the Lord, you know, we say we bless the Lord, we praise the Lord, and so forth. Well, that's true, but honestly, you know who it's helping more than anybody? It's helping you. You're getting something out of it. You're getting strength out of it. You're getting power out of it. So God's not having us to worship Him so we build up His ego. How many believe that God doesn't need His ego built up? He's as high as they come. And so that's not it. The idea is that you get something out of it. You get strengthened. You know, God is so good. He never asks us to do anything for selfish purposes. Just like the tithe. Think about the tithe. God asks you to give back to Him what's already His. You know, the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. It doesn't say it's the Lord's when you give it. It's the Lord's whether you give it or not. You just decide whether you're going to keep His part. Okay. So, but here's the thing. When you do give Him what's His, He blesses you for giving it. And then He turns around and spends it on you. Used for the kingdom work. Amen. So that's a pretty good deal if you ask me. I mean, you know, if I'd say, hey, you know, if you give me like $100, of my money back, if I give you a $100 bill and say, give it back to me and I'll bless you for doing that, how many would jump in on that deal real quick? Mm-hmm. Sure. You know. All right, so God does everything He does. My point is God does everything He does just because He wants to bless us. Amen. Right. So I hope you see this. Look, God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that He can ask or think for you. And He's able to do it, Paul said. He's able to do it. But it's going to be according to the power that's working in you. How strong of a spirit man do you have where God's able to do that? Now let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I hope you don't mind me looking at some passages this morning as we just talk about this. I'm so looking forward to everybody being back with us. It'll be great to preach to people sitting in chairs. Amen. You know, on Wednesday night, Scott and I. He's great to preach to, but you know, he and I want some more company. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at this, verse 23. Paul said, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we must be spirit, soul, and body. I mean, Paul said that, and he knew what he was talking about. How many believe he knew what he was talking about? Sure he did. But I want you to notice now, this is very important. The order he put these in. He said, I pray God, number one, your whole spirit. Number two, your soul. Number three, your body. In other words, Paul put the emphasis first on the Spirit. And I think I really believe this is significant. I don't believe this is just an accident. He put the significance first spirit, second soul, third body. In other words, the most important part of you is your spirit man. Now that ought to be obvious because we Christians believe that if our body dies, we go on living. Amen. And so, and that is scriptural, by the way. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we all obviously we should know right away our body is not our most important part of our life. Right. So our spirit man. Now, here's the thing that I've discovered in life. If you will order your life this way, if you will put your spirit first, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your intellect, second, and your body last, you're going to have a fruitful life. But did you know, most Christians don't. F.F. Bosworth, the healing evangelist from the 1950s, said this. He said, most Christians feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and their spirit 1 cold snack a week. And wonder why they're defeated. I'm not defeated this morning. I hope you're not. Nope. I'm not. I face, you know, well, Pastor, you don't face the trouble I do. No, I probably face more than you do, most likely. Maybe not, but probably, because I have I take care of sheep. They have problems. So maybe I face more. But it's not about that. It's about if you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is small. But I try to live. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm still working at it. I don't know about you, but, you know, he's still working on me. Amen. Yeah, and, you know, so I used to shame the Israelites for an 11-day journey, taking them 40 years, and now I think they made it in record time. So it's like I quit shaming them so much because I'm thinking, man, I've seen some of the same shrubs over and over again. So, you know, I maybe done somewhat better, but, you know, I still use some help myself. So I learned this in life. If you put your spirit first, in other words, if that's the most important part of you, then you'll end up having a success in life spiritually. Now think about this. Just across the street from our church over here, there's a body shop. No, I'm not talking about a car body, a human body shop. Amen. It's a fitness center. People go in there. They're not going there now because of the COVID-19 situation. But before that, they went in there every day. I think it's probably open 24/7. So they go in there. You see cars there every day. What are they going in there for? Well, you know, sometimes, I don't know about this place, but sometimes those places say, you know, they're building body, mind, and spirit. Well, they're not building your spirit. Not unless they got the Word of God somebody over there preaching. Right. Maybe they do. I don't know. They're not building your spirit. That's just a slogan. They're building your body. And they're not really building your mind. As far as I know, you know, you're not learning anything. Maybe, if you know, how to do a few exercises, but that's not building your mind. They're building your body. There's nothing wrong with that, right? You know, people pay to do that. I don't know how much it costs, but they pay that. And so you get people, all right, you get people. Are you ready for this? You get people that go to that place at least 3 times a week. Great, no problem. They're building their body. And the church is, you can see the church from here, from there. All right? We may have members that go there 3 days a week, 4 days a week. I don't know. And yet the church, you can throw a baseball if you got a strong enough arm and hit the church, and they show up here once every 2 weeks. Are you saying amen out there, or did you turn me off? Anyway, see, what am I saying? Well, that proves, see, the proof, we used to say the proof of the pudding's in the eating, right? So if you really put your spirit man first, you're going to put value on being here in the house of the Lord.
Right.
You're going to put value on feeding your spirit every day.
Right.
Working out your body, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. But my point in saying that is a lot of times people think they're putting their spirit first, but when you look at the reality of it, they're not really. They wouldn't miss a workout, but they don't mind missing church.
Right.
Where your spirit's getting fed. Well, people say, I've heard people say, well, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian. No, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. You just have to come to church to be an obedient Christian. You don't have to do a lot of things to go to heaven. You get saved and make Jesus Lord of your life, you know. There's a lot of things you don't have to do. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to submit to the leadership of the church. You don't have to do any of that. But if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you do. There's things I can't do other Christians can do. Or they do. I can't do them consciously because I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to follow His teachings. I'm not just asking Him to get me to heaven. I want to live according to the way He says live now.
Right.
Amen. So my point, and I hope you don't, you know, take this wrong, but listen, we have to check ourselves and see, are we really putting our spirit man first? Think about it. We could have a CD set out here in the media counter, you know, that would change your life. And it's $20. And people go, $20? $20 for CDs of someone preaching? $20? Well, I'm not paying that. And then they'll leave church and go pay $23 for a steak. Somebody say amen. Come on, don't look so dumb at me. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Of course you do. You know, what's that tell you? It tells you they value their physical body, their appetites, more than their spirit man. And it tells you there's a little bit of unbelief there that they don't really believe that'll help them.
Right.
But if that's the Word of God, it can't do anything but help you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So, anyway, that's just good preaching. Amen. If I had some money in my pocket, I'd give myself an offering right now. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let's go to Timothy. We're in Thessalonians. Just go a few places, pages to the right there, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me show you something here. I hope you're getting something out of this today. We've got to have a strong spirit. Paul told the church the Hebrew church, or Hebrew Christians, he said to them, he said that they should be on, he talked about, you know, for the time when you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So Paul's telling us we should be on strong meat after we've been serving the Lord for a while.
Right.
It's okay to be on milk when you're a baby, right? You know, that's all you can handle. But we ought to grow. We shouldn't stay babies. We ought to grow to the place we want strong meat. He says those that, you know, for those that are unskillful in the word of righteousness are babes, but those that are on strong meat have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. Why, they just keep feeding on the word of God and they become strong, he's saying. They become mature, they become strong. You know, we can't do that without feeding on the word. Amen. You know, when I get up and preach, I'm conscious of this, there's times I'm giving out meat, there's times I'm giving out milk. There's times I'm kind of giving out something that's kind of been pureed or something, you know, however you say it, you know, because there's people with different levels out there that are feeding, you know. But we ought to grow to the place we can all have strong meat, especially if we've been serving the Lord for a while. Amen. Instead of remaining spiritual babies, right? You know, being in the spiritual nursery and we're 40 years old spiritually. Amen. You know, I like what Brother Hagin said when he was pastoring. He said, don't pastor the way I do. You might get whipped. Or the way he did. You know, he pastored for a number of years in his early ministry. And he said he had one deacon, you know. I mean, he's a deacon. He's in the church. He's been there for 30, 40 years. He should be strong. He should be taking care of babies. He should be feeding people. You know, he should be growing up himself. But, you know, he quit coming to church once. And then time went by. I mean, there was several services. He didn't come to church. So finally, Brother Hagin asked his wife, well, where's he at? And she's like, oh, Brother Hagin, I'm ashamed to tell you. He got offended because you went to see this new baby Christians that just got saved. You went to their house and visited them, and you go see them, and you haven't come and seen him. And he's all upset about it. Well, Brother Hagin told her, well, there's another side of that story. I'm not going to come and see him. You tell that big baby to grow up. Brother Hagin said, don't pastor like I did. You might get whipped. But anyway, you know, his point was, look, it's time for you to grow up. You know, and thank God that guy got a hold of that. He got a hold of it. He took that rebuke, and he became strong, Brother Hagin said, in his church, and began helping a lot of the young babies instead of being a big baby himself.
Amen.
That's good preaching, Pastor. I know. Some people don't like that kind of preaching. You know, it's not like, friends, I love you, you're good, you're wonderful. But, you know, sometimes we need to hear things and we need to understand that if we've been serving God for a while, it's time to get our thumb out of our mouth. Quit sucking on the bottle. Get out of the nursery. Amen. Quit having to have our way all the time. Well, I ain't coming back for 2 weeks. They didn't do the song I like. It may be 6 months before we hit a song you like with the kind of attitude you have. But, hallelujah. Oh, good thing you're all coming back. So, you know, we have to understand we have to grow up. Amen. We got to develop a strong spirit. Don't just be babies all the time. Amen. Look at this, Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look what Paul said. We're about to wind down here, so hang with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself. Exercise yourself. Rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, what is Paul saying here? Well, he's saying that we have to exercise ourselves spiritually. How many exercise physically? You know, I do. I used to do different than I do now. All I do now is run, and you know. But I used to work out with weights and so forth all the time. And I quit that years ago. And but I still exercise. I still run. I still, you know, I do more cardiovascular stuff like running. And so I have, I'm in pretty good shape. My heartbeat, resting heartbeat's about 48, so that's pretty good. So I'm in pretty good shape. So I keep myself, I know I've gotten a little soft the last year and a half. I put on about 20 pounds. We're working on it. But anyway, you have to work at it. You have to exercise. You have to do it. You can't just I exercised last month. I'm good. I mean, it's kind of like an ongoing thing, right? You work out, oh yeah, man, I did last year. No, you got to do more than that. So Paul is simply saying, just like you can be physically fit, you can be spiritually fit. Now, there's a lot of people that may be physically fit, but they're not spiritually fit, and they don't have a strong spirit. You have to exercise, just like you exercise in the natural, you have to exercise in the spirit. Amen. To keep yourself in shape. Now, look at Timothy. We're still in Timothy, but just go to 2 Timothy. This is our last scripture this morning. Hope you got something out of this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me show you this scripture. Chapter 2. Go to 2 Timothy 2. And I want to read just one verse there. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, Paul said, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, see, what can happen in our life is we can get flabby on the things of this life, spiritually. In other words, now, we all have things we have to take care of in life. That's just part of life. Don't misunderstand me. But what happens is you can concentrate on that till that's all you think about. That's all you do with your life is just natural things. You don't do things that build your spirit man. You don't do things that make him strong. And consequently now, back to Ephesians, what we said, and you can go back and look that again if you want to and just check that out. But in Ephesians, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. But if we don't have power working in our spirit man, that limits what he can do for us. It's according to that. So it's to our advantage to stay strong. You say, "I don't understand why they get delivered. They're always getting delivered. I never get delivered." Well, maybe it's because you've limited God in your life and he can't do for you like he'd like to do for you. I'm not saying that, but it could be that's the problem. You have to judge that yourself. But here's what I do know is you can get flabby on just the things of life. Because why? You're not consuming the right things. Now, like I said, over the last little over a year, I've put on 20 pounds. I'm working on that. But let me tell you what. I did not put on that 20 pounds by eating, you know, lettuce and tomatoes and green beans, you know, and spinach and salad. That's not how it got on there. It got on there by eating other stuff that maybe is not so good for you. Why does everybody look so icky right now? Come on. What I'm saying, I've started consuming too much of the wrong stuff. I'm sitting there late night, and I'm eating pizza, popcorn, and chocolate. Now, as far as I can tell, even though those are the staples of life, probably not what you should be consuming all the time. All right. So I little by little, you know, and I watched it creep up. I thought, you know, I was at a certain weight and I thought, well, I'm not going past this. I'll nail it. I'll nip it in the bud, as Barney says, Barney 5. I'll nip it in the bud when it gets to this. You know what? I let it jump right over the bud, right over the next bush and shrub and everything else. The next thing you know, I'm like, man, I got to do something. This has got to stop. You would not believe how many times I've started over again because I keep a log of it. You know, like if I'm starting over, and you don't believe how many times I've got that weight marked out because, well, you know, I started on Monday, but I blew it on Wednesday. So let's start back over again on Monday. But how many know, you get what happens? You start to get flabby. This happens in spiritually. People just, you know, they just consume natural things all the time and the news and just all caught up in life. Next thing you know, they put on some flabbiness of the world. That doesn't mean they're living wrong. Doesn't mean they're living bad. But it just means they've got a lot of things going on the inside of them other than spiritual things. It's consuming their life. They've gotten entangled with the affairs of the life, and they're no longer fit to be a soldier. What would you think if you were the leader of a platoon and one of your soldiers disappeared, you know? And, you know, you're in the middle of a hot battle, and you find, well, where did he go? Well, you know, I mean, he's been thinking about buying a new car so he'd have it when he got home, so he took off to go buy a new car. How many know he'd be in trouble? Because when you're out there in the war zone, all of life, all the things of life, all that natural thing's gone. You're not thinking about your car. You're not thinking about all the naturalness of life. Why? You're in the midst of a battle. This is what Paul's saying. When you hooked up with Jesus Christ, you became a soldier. And God doesn't want us entangled with the affairs of this life. Does it mean we don't take care of things? I'm not telling you forget all that. You got things you got to take care of, but we don't get entangled in it. We keep our focus on the things of the Spirit. Amen. All right, as we close out, think about, there's a parable. We won't read it, but it's kind of a little lengthy. Jesus talked about, he said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Well, when you read that, all right, when he says then, this is Matthew 25, 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Then is a time period. It indicates a time period. So you have to read before what he was talking about to find out the then. I hope you follow me. In other words, Jesus talked about there'll be a time period. This is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. Well, the then, if you read Matthew 24, he's talking about the end times, in the end times. What it would be like in the end times. He said, then in the end times, this is what the kingdom is going to be like. There'll be 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. What is the difference? Well, the difference is the 5 wise, they took their lamps. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Talking about having a strong spirit man, remember. They took their lamps and they took their vessels with oil in them. In other words, the wise took their lamps and took extra oil. The foolish took their lamps, but no extra oil. And he went on to say, you know, as the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made saying, behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him. Then they all arose, trimmed their lamps, and then the five foolish said, our oil is gone out. Our lamps have gone out. We've ran out of oil. And they asked the wise, give us of your oil. And they said, no, go buy for yourself. Go to where you get it and get it for yourself. But the Bible says, while they went, the bridegroom came and took away the 5 wise, but the 5 foolish were left. And Jesus' parable, the teaching of the parable was this. He said, what I say to you, I'm saying, oh, watch, for you don't know what hour your Lord's coming. Now, what I get from that, guys, is this. In the end times, it's going to take extra oil. What we were living off of in the past, it's not going to be strong enough for these end times. Why? Because the warfare will be stronger. We already know that, right? I mean, the warfare is strong. If you're trying to get by with just that little, remember, there used to be a, when I was a kid, there was some kind of hair cream or something. No, a little, it was a Brill cream? Or was it Dippity-Doo? Dippity-Doo. A little dabble do you. Some of you, if you're old enough, you remember that. A little dabble do you. If you don't, just him that's ignorant, let him be ignorant still. But a little dabble do you. Well, how many know, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, a little dab's not going to do you in the end times. So what Jesus was saying was this, in the end times, The warfare is going to be so strong that you have to have extra oil. You have to be extra strong in your spirit if you're going to make it. I don't, you know, nobody wakes up one morning and says, you know, I'm just going to quit. It's a process. It's a process. And I'm convinced of this. I hate to say this, but I'm convinced of this. In these last times, as darkness increases, I believe, of course, the glory is going to get stronger on the church. I believe that. But I also believe this. Paul said in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We're already seeing that right now in the church. We're seeing people that we never thought would have fallen and left, just left, just seduced by evil spirits. I'm convinced there are going to be people in these last days that they're not going to take this Christ seriously. They're not going to take messages like this seriously. And those people are going to end up in trouble in the last days. They're going to be like the foolish virgins that weren't ready. They weren't full. They weren't alive. And the filth of the world is going to overtake them. Right. And it's going to take them out. I hope that's nobody that's watching me this morning. But I'm convinced that, not only am I convinced that's going to happen, it is already happening right now. It's just heartbreaking to see how many people that are even in leadership in the church that are now leaving the faith. All kinds. It's heartbreaking. Well, they didn't just wake up one morning and say, I think I'll leave the faith. No, what happened is they didn't take the extra oil. They didn't take it. They weren't ready. We want to be ready. I want God to do for me and for you everything He wants to do. He's able, hallelujah, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it's according to the power that's working in us. What's the power? Paul prayed for this, that they'd be strengthened with might by His Spirit in their inner man. Amen. I hope you got something today.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.